The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Hey, hey, hey you. It's the artist D here, and I just wanted to tell you that Mr. Frank Cotolo, the Frank, is on right now.
Good afternoon, Atomic Athletic. Roger speaking.
This is me, Frank Cotolo.
Hello?
This is me, Frank Cotolo. What's going on?
Okay.
Oh, look who's joined us.
I'm sorry, I'm not getting half of what you're saying.
We're on right now.
Hello?
This is me, Frank Cotolo.
Okay. Roger LaPointe from Atomic Athletic.
What are you saying now?
This is Roger LaPointe from Atomic Athletic.
This is me, Frank Cotolo.
I'm not understanding what you're saying.
I keep telling you. This is me, Frank Cotolo.
Okay, what can I do for you?
I will be there. Cocktails and hors d'oeuvres. Everybody I've mentioned. I have it on good authority.
Yes?
We're broadcasting. We're on right now. What do I say again? Oh, look who's joined us.
I'm getting a strange echo here. That's making it really difficult to understand what you're saying.
This is me, Frank Cotolo. It's really funny. They're not all dumb. Oh, yeah, right. These are the wrong words. That's a bad word to use. Flew out of my head like a squirrel in a palm tree.
Okay, I'm going to let you go.
I'll take a short break here. Put some news and crap on.
From a Toya paper moon, sailing under a cardboard sky, but I wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. Or it's love, 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 or it's a honky-tonk parade. Or it's love, 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 or it's a melody played at a penny arcade for a environment baby world. Just as phony as it can be, but I wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. Or put another nickel head in the Nickelodeon. And all that from back my body to me. That pony run, he jump, he pitch, he tumble, master is a ditch. The pony being rather shy when bitten by the blue tail fly. Oh, Jim, crack on and I don't care. Oh, Jim, crack on and I don't care. Oh, Jim, crack on and I don't care. What my master's here to say.
Okay, here we go.
Listening to Frank Cotolo.
This is amazing. NASA's New Horizons spacecraft, now just 1 year from Pluto. And Pluto, of course, is way out there. It's just incredible. Unprecedented mission to Pluto has now begun counting down the final year of its almost decade-long 3 billion-mile journey. That's right, 3 billion-mile journey. Congratulations to NASA on this. This is really amazing. Incredible. It's going to be very interesting to see what they capture there. It was launched in January of 2006, and it's set to approach Pluto, I think, around July of next year, 2015, so that's really cool.
Next year, 2000.
express train to the neo-postmodern world.
Who is that?
That's Skatola over there. You know what I mean?
Beyond the New Horizons. Postmodernists, you sunburnt sicklemen of July weary, come hither from the furrow and be merry, make holiday. We're here, Commander Cotolo, the bard of broadcasting, on stage. Wake up. It is night, philosophical entertainment, relevant irreverence, Neseratai, couple surfers, nudaholics, and infomaniacs remain curious. Yellow, take out your Cotolo Chronicles, no books, take a breath now and then, here we go for another man. Wise cut from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello. Third man is here, looking over your shoulder, looking between your arms. First the left, then the right, then the left, then the right, and the left, then the right. But I'm here. My house band, with their zithers. In the 14th season of the new millennium. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone around this great round world of ours. Heard from here to there. That's right, ice cap to ice cap, and in circumference. New horizon beyond the new horizon. Pluto, my friends. What's it got to do with you? A lot. Stay with us. It's just me and you again. And that little place called Pluto. So sing a song before we give you all the information, all the things you never thought you had to think about today, and you'll think about for the rest of your life. Y2K plus 14, as I said. Smack in the middle of July. Ah, so carefully lighted is the stage this evening, this afternoon, this morning, I don't know, whenever, you know, you're listening. Live here. Cotolo Chronicles. because I'm chronicling him, boy. You're going to hear about it tonight, today, this afternoon. Buck Smart's Guts and Hearts. You got it all right here. Stay with me, please. So much in so little time have we to deliver. All of a sudden, my email, what's it called? My email bank? My email, what? House? My house of email? What is it called? I suddenly don't know what we call that. My email place, my house, my email program? Suddenly, I am swarmed with email scams, left and right. Last week, I was talking about a lot of them again, and God only knows I continually brag about having broken the Nigerian email scam. But wow, I have no that I write back to them. I block them. Here's why you can't block a lot of these scam people. And that's because you can't block, well, you can block them, but they keep changing their emails. And they just find these weird emails. They change these names and they keep sending all this stuff out. And it's throw it on the wall and see what sticks. See what kind of people out there are going to be able to fall for this stuff. But it's everything now. But it's the same thing. And I have been ruthless. I've been very busy, so I've not had a lot of time to really be particularly sarcastic, write them back whole letters. I have done a few, and I have some fun doing that. I know they have fun reading it, and I know they take me off the list, but there's more. I mean, there can't be, what is this? There can't be like one bunch of guys and gals somewhere doing all this. This has to be coming from any number of places. And who the heck, I guess they feel they're going to hit people who are going to easily give up their information and then send money because they think, I don't know, how ill must you be to be a person who suddenly believes this stuff? I don't know. But I'm just mentioning that I'm being swarmed. So there's a brigade, there's a battalion after, there's swarms, I guess is the best way to put it. So if you're getting 100 of them, block them, write them back, and I write them back. I use big, bold letters and some very, very vile language. Now that was a very, very strange sound, too. All sorts of strange things going on. My name is Frank Catola. My man's name adorns the title of the show. I'm here on the day after the assassination of Archie, the comic book character. Of course, he was shot and killed yesterday, or whenever that story. I guess that was present day. Archie, that redheaded, freckled, even in his adulthood, he's freckled. And I didn't know a lot of people who went into their adulthood with freckles. And why on earth are freckles and redheads? And I don't really see a lot of brunette freckled. No, there are no brunette. I guess you got to be redhead to be freckled. Is that it? How about yellow haired, which of course would be blonde? I don't know. I'm trying to think of this and think through it, but I don't want to spend a lot of time doing it because what we have to talk about, what I'm going to talk about, what you're going to hear are some fascinating things. I didn't even know this stuff was going on. And now it's time. In the collage in the beginning of the show, if you were listening to that, some guy was talking about the New Horizons spacecraft mission. New Horizons. It's New Missions. What is it? It's called what? New Missions. No, it's New Horizons. No, it's New Missions. It's New Horizons mission. That's how many different ways they could imagine in the
Imagine when they were naming it and all the guys are sitting around. What are you going to call this? Let's call it the new mission to the horizon. No, let's call it the New Horizon mission. Let's call it New Horizon missions. The spacecraft is nearing, getting very close to Pluto. And there's nothing close to Pluto. Some moons. Pluto has moons, but Pluto brings up a very interesting bunch of things. And getting there, oh boy, you're going to hear about this. And this is not something we need to talk about with our science panel. They're way too smart for this junk. But what does it mean to you and I, the typical people walking the streets or roads, wherever it is you might live? I say night because it's night here, but it's afternoon. It's May, and it's where? What are the time zones? What are they again? I have them here. I used to have them all along. I can't believe I have papers that have been here since the beginning, almost the beginning of this show. I don't mean the beginning of this show tonight. I mean like forever. Holy moly! Look at all these things. Where's the? And listening overseas. Well, overseas, I'm overseas to you. You know, I keep saying that. If you're listening overseas, well, you are. I mean, I'm overseas if you're listening in England. Right? But this stuff about... Forget about Archie. There will be one more, by the way. There'll be one more Archie comic book. Life with Archie, it's called. And then no more. Well, nobody's buying them anyway. Who's buying comic books? No, they call, what do they call, $6.95? This is, you know, you're listening to a guy who spent, I can remember, the earliest I remember are 10-cent comics. 10 cents for an entire book of thrills and excitement. You know, if you had a dollar, you could buy 10 comic books. That would keep you going if you liked that stuff. And everybody liked that stuff back in those days. And you could laugh at it, but remember, that was the form of, you know, the video games or whatever you got today. This is different. It's more visual. It's an entirely different medium. And it's a shame to see paneled comic books on their way out. But, you know, everything, wait, what was it? I heard it the other day. I love this quote. It's going to be a Daily Med soon. Have you joined Daily Meds on Twitter? Please do. At Daily Meds, it's M-E-D-Z. Daily Meds. These are meditations that you hear one a day. You get one a day, and you ponder it. Or you don't, or you forget about it. I don't really care. But it's a fun place. And it counters a lot of the other junk going on out there. I call it junk. It's editorial, I know. The stuff that just, you know, says, oh, your fire is so bright and life is your wonderful walking on clouds. Always think positive. You know, Edja, this counters all of it. But, you know, I'm here to balance things. I think I need to. I don't think that's iconoclastic. I think that's realistic, and I think it's worthless. Because if I don't do it, I stop doing it tomorrow, fine. I do things for myself. I share them with people who want to share them, and for those who don't, then don't. But this is the way life remains in a linear space. Otherwise, there's no direction. You go into outer space, remember, there's no up, there's no down. And this thing is flying to Pluto. This thing. It takes my mind and just whisks it out there into out there land. So we're going to talk about that. And we'll talk about its pertinence to you and I, because that's what this is all about. Well, it's part of what this is all about. It's not all what this is all about. My name is Frank Cotullo. The man whose name adorns the title of the show. The show, of course, Cotullo Chronicles. I am chronicling on this 17th of July, the new millennium, Y2K plus 14. What's coming up? Well, there's how many shows? There's two more shows. Yes, two more shows in July, and I can't tell you I know what's coming up, because I don't. These things change. You know, I could say this, that, and the other thing, and then it doesn't happen, because something else comes up. People going to be on the show, people who will be, might not be on. From now on, I'm not going to say coming up, even though we know it. In general, the things that are coming up, you know about. You know Dr. Popol will be, you know Dr. Woldar will be back. You know the Sky might be back. And by the way, congratulations to Sky and Bo on the wedding nights on SRN Media Works and any other number of places with Skylar Hall and Bo, Bobo. I know, I don't want to make, he knows me and I know him, but I don't want to make, congratulations on your wedding. And may you be together forever in peace and harmony, and in combat and in the ups and downs of any relationship. Don't let it fool you, friends. I'm not here to fool you. I'm all words. What else do we have? We have any number of things that are Bolo. I'm sorry. Okay, you're quite welcome. Skylar's listening. Bolo. I was closer than usual. Bo. I said Bo. That's right. Bo was just Bo without the low. Bolo. Well wishes. I'm certainly, and they had a great, I heard a great party, and I'm sorry I couldn't be there, but we'll get together for drinks someday. Someday. And we'll do whatever it is we do. We'll talk about this stuff. In the meantime, in between time, or as we say in this event, and in any event, or whatever it is, however I say it, when I say it, I do want to say that we're going to talk about Pluto. That everybody's going to be on the show eventually. Everyone you know, and people you don't know, people who've been here before, coming back after a long time, people who wrote books, not books, but not just anyone. Not just anyone. If I had everyone who wants to be on this show, I would never have a show like this, which is, by and large, and I don't mean this to disparage any of my guests when they're here, but the Cthulhu Chronicles was built upon these monologues, these two-hour monologues. I mean, I didn't even break in the early days, you know, for those, you know, PR spots and everything like I do now. But it was built upon this monologue idea and this this rabbit hole monologue where we just shooting around the ideas. And so I always am loyal, but I like doing these types of shows because so many people do enjoy them. And that's how we started, and that's where we are tonight, and that's where we are tonight. So when we talk to other people, we will. Like Heather will be back. Heather Drain. Dr. Popoli, Dr. Wold, I told the doctors, and other people who swear they're coming. But I don't want to promise you anything. Okay. Hey, here's something I didn't know also. I found out. And I don't know if you knew this. And I'm not going to tell you how I found out because it's not really relevant. But I didn't know that Amazon sells pornographic vids. Did you know that they sell porn? I did not know this. And some of it, you know, I've used CDs. Did I say CD? I meant DVD. Yeah, I'll tell you how. I was looking up a porn star, Lily LeBeau. I was looking up Lily LeBeau because I know that Lily LeBeau was in certain straight movies. I can't call them straight movies. I don't mean straight in a sexual sense. I mean in normal commercial movies. Well, I mean, normal commercial, that means they're abnormal if they're porn. And porn is so normal. What I mean is, in things that were not porn. Okay, movies that, not even movies. Okay, let me narrow this down. In entertainment vehicles that were not pornographic. How about that? Whew. Wow. Did I get around that one? So I looked up Lily LeBeau. And then I noticed something about Amazon. And it said something, one of the links. And I don't know why I was shocked. I just thought that, you know, everything that's porn is either free because people are uploading stuff they buy or steal onto these zillions of sites where they have free streaming, or it was specific companies that sold DVDs and streamed. I had no idea that that Amazon had it. But it does. So if any of you people want to know about that, go look it up. Or look up Lily LeBeau, or don't look up. I'd like to look up Lily LeBeau. Ta-da-da-da-da-da. We're going to talk about any number of things relating to this. And I'm going to start by doing this because I don't have a lot of other... I don't have any ponderances. I'm not pondering. I have to move my thing around my desk here and get into this. And what we're going to do is talk about this based on... Oh, boy. I have no... Now I don't even know where this... This must have come from Wired.com. And it's I don't have the author. I usually have the author, give them credits, but I don't have it this time, so we're not going to do it. We're just going to talk about this. And this is amazing. And it's still a year away, but for some reason or another, they're talking about it now because it's close. It's closer than we'll ever be. If you remember, or if you're into astrology, I don't know, and I'm not, but if you remember anything about astrology, I think there were 10 planets, and now there's only 9 because they took Pluto away. They took Pluto away. They said, you're not a planet. No more you for you, Pluto. They name Pluto... I don't know who named it, but of course it's named, of course. Listen to this, of course. Better take out your notebooks, okay? And I don't mean, and you know what? I'm gonna apologize to those of you who I know are so smart that you don't need notebooks. I know, I say some things, and there's no reason to write them down, as Dr. Fablanik would say. There's no reason to write them down because you know these things. And I say this, and this came to mind because I was talking to my son in the car earlier today, and I said something about Pluto, and he goes, "That's Pluto's the Greek, and Hades is the Roman, and it's named after," and I said, "Yeah, the god of the underground. And he said, my elder son said, not the underground, and he's 21, he said, the underworld, not the underworld like the, you know, mafia underworld. I said the underground. Whew. I'm thinking, you know, God of the underworld, Pluto. And we could talk more about that. But, I mean, I know a lot of people know that. So you know why Pluto's name Pluto, Jupiter's name Jupiter, Mars's name Mars. They named, when they found these planets, they named them after, gods of Greek and stuff. You know, you're right. Okay, I love about Skylar. I love this nitpicky because I get nitpicky too. You just got me on Skype here. Forgive me for being nitpicky, and be sure not to mix up astronomy, the study of matter and energy in the universe, and astrology. Didn't I say astrology? I said astrology. I don't believe. I mean, that made up science. The belief that the position of the sun, moon, and planets are relative to the stars and each other can influence our daily lives. And then the other one is astronomy, which is the study of matter and energy in the universe. I like that. Matter and energy in the universe. What's the matter with energy in the universe? Anyway, no, I thought I said astrology. So I'll be nitpicky. I'll be nitpicky right back, Mr. Sky, Mr. Hall. Anybody who has their phone on or what have you, you know, can get me on Skype. If you want to send me a little note, you're all welcome to do that. I wonder if Skype says that's enough friends or contacts already. I wonder, you can't have like 52,000, can you? Doesn't Skype go, all right, that's enough. When you get to like 13,000, oh, that's quite enough. And then I wonder why I get strange emails and crazy things. I don't even know. So many of these people. And then the ones I want to contact, again, okay, let's go back to this. Let's not confuse astronomy with astrology. Please. And I do apologize for those of you who I know are more intelligent than I give you credit for when it comes to writing things down. I write this down. But you might just make a note so that you want to look at it later, look up other stuff about it, because you can't know everything about it. I don't care how smart any of you may be. Okay, so did you know that in 2006, the New Horizons mission was launched by NASA? Yeah, who remembers that? I have problems going back to 2006, and I had problems in 2006. Certainly things that were not related to Pluto or astronomy. Astronomy just reminded me of, as I told you, the saloon doors opening and closing in my head. Astronomy reminded me of, and I don't say it, right? It's, it reminded me of you. Of what, Frank? Hello? Hello? There goes the door again. It's like, you know, sometimes, this is amazing to me. And that is that this show, my behavior on this show sometimes is this strange mixture of the guy who used to do the cartoons, you know, in the morning and early television, Soupy Sales, Steve Allen, and any number of, even the crazy ones like, I've forgotten their name, Alan Burke and Gene Shepard, not crazy, but it is amazing how I have this is what I mean about neo-postmodern. Not to be confused with neo-modern, neo-postmodern, or post-cereal, post-toasties. It's amazing to me because I am aware, I'm conscious and aware of all the influences. And when I do things like hit the door, another door, you know, when I do that, it's kind of like, you know, when you have these little, the Steve Allen thing, right? Schmuck, schmuck. Remember that? Anyone?
Okay.
That kind of stuff. It's all in the cauldron of the sounds. And the delivery and the behavior of me, Frank Atolo. Now let's talk about Pluto. Did you know in 2006, Y2K plus 6, the New Horizons mission shot right out there. And it says that a year from today, and this is written on the 14th, so it's less than a year now, it's going to be its closest flyby of Pluto. So this thing is already gone. I don't know. Maybe it'll tell us in this particular article. So I haven't read it. I never do. I read it with you. No, I don't read it with you. I read it as I'm reading it to you. So we both have this sense of spontaneity, not to be confused with One year from today, or a little less than a year from today, right now, here's Pluto, mainly known as the object in the solar system that used to be a planet. That's right. Some would argue it was never a planet, simply misclassified as one for years and years and decades and centuries. I don't know when it was founded. I don't know. But we're going to know a little bit more about Pluto. I'm going to talk about why on Earth this is important. We're talking Pluto. And as I said, if you can name the planets, or just keep in your mind, go out there in space and keep going, and it's the last one. You know, when you learned all this stuff, or if you learned all this stuff, or when you did the last one we know about. It's not the last one, because we don't know beyond that. Pluto is this incredibly... Okay, it's the last one. This ship, we're going to call it a ship, this thing. I didn't know he had one of those things. Remember Jack Nicholson and Batman? Why didn't someone tell me he had one of those things? I know, bad imitation. Pluto, known for this planet. Okay, scientists have been studying this small body. Let's call it a small body. Since its discovery, here's the discovery, 1930. So we don't even know about it. Didn't even know about it. Do you ever start talking in words that aren't words, in sounds, like I did? I know people who do that. Not in broadcasting, though. They tell you never to do things like that in broadcasting. And they tell you not to leave these pauses. I leave these pauses because I have a rhythm to my voice, as you know, and because I know what you hear in the background, this breathing. This room is alive. I'm sitting in a living thing. Just hear it? It's hums and sounds. That's going to turn off sooner or later anyway. I didn't have this place soundproofed because, you know, when internet radio began, who cared? In fact, when you think about it now, who cares? I mean, all those of us, we're the only ones with, I learned recently that a lot of media outlets, so whether it be television, radio, or FM, AM, whatever, that they're letting up. They're winding down. They're not winding down. Come on, stay with it. Come on, open up some doors. They're cutting back in programming and in talent, in just people if they're not talented, you know, talkers, and because people are programming their own lives for entertainment and information. With their phones. So even though you can get this on a phone and many people, you know, we went through a couple of stages. First, it was internet radio. You had to be by a computer and be in one and connected one to hear this, and you had to have broadband. Then what happened? Then the podcast came along, and you could listen to them later. You could still listen to them later and download them and listen. But now you could download them anywhere. Now, there's a phone. So we get the mobile. They call it mobile because you can move them around. Because you can move around iPads to iPods. iPads. There are iPads and iPods. You make one mistake and it's really a thing. It's not even like I made a mistake. They're just two things and you can use them both. Not at the same time. Yes, you can use them at the same time. What am I talking about? I'm talking about Pluto. 1930. So the small body was discovered in 1930 and scientists know a fair amount about the basic properties of this place called Pluto. And there will be, but now, of course, there'll be an explosion. This is what it says in the thing. There'll be an explosion of knowledge about the tiny world. It is tiny, too. Listen to this quote from Alan Stern of the Southwest Research Institute. He is the mission's principal investigator. Quote, "Everything we know about Pluto comes from studying it from billions of miles away. But the lesson of planetary science, or small body out there in space science," that's me, not him, he didn't say, "but the lesson of planetary science is that when we see things up close, our ideas from afar are often overturned." And you know, let me tell you, there's a lesson. There's the first lesson. Okay? That has to do with almost anything in life. From, let's take something that has nothing to do with astronomy, which is real. Astrology, which, all right, I don't know if you want to believe it, it's fine. Isn't it funny that people who don't know astrology still know their sign? Isn't it amazing? People know, what sign are you? Well, I don't believe in that junk. I'm an Aries. astrology, if I may speak about it, talk about and speak about and not discuss because it's someone else. And I think the definition of discuss is to have someone else talking with you in a conversation. So let me just use this as part of my monologue. There are people, many of them, and I myself, which is a redundant way of identifying me, and I am one of them. Well, I knew people who got into astrology, and some people really amazed me with things that they said about astrology and things that they read from the placing of planets. I'm not talking about the newspaper astrological things. I'm talking about people who really knew how to make charts, some birth charts, and scope them with degrees and everything. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So I have been amazed, but I don't believe in any of it. And yet, most people don't believe in any of it. Do I say most people? I don't have any data on that. But, I mean, I think so. it's not like the Bible. So many people believe in stuff in the Bible as real, and there are more of them than there are astrologers, and some people think. But anyway, people who don't believe in it, follow it, do it, listen, use it, apply it, still know their sign. That's amazing to me that something as outrageous and stupid, I know it's editorial. I mean, if you think it's outrageous and stupid, okay? I think it's outrageous and stupid. And by the way, I'm a Libra. Everyone knows. And of course, it's the quintessential icebreaker when you meet someone, man or woman, whoever you want to go out and meet and become friends or anything else. Hey, what's your sign? And it's jokingly one of the things that, you know, one of the pickup lines. And it's not a pickup line, believe me. And I never knew when I didn't know anything, and I still don't know anything about it to the extent that you should know things about things. But everyone reads a little blurb. Oh, you're an Aries. You're this. You're that. Oh, it means you're lofty and crafty, and you're a Gemini. Those are the twins. I even know this stuff. The twins, Gemini. You're this. You're that. You're this. You're that. You're that. You're this. Everybody knows. So amazing. But here's the first lesson. What does this thing, the Pluto, have to do? Well, you know what Alan Stern just said is something, and this might be the kind of thing you find on daily meds, MEDZ, when you follow it. Come on, people, I need followers. Why? Because there's a different one every day. There's not been one repeated in 3 months yet, 4 months, maybe five, I'm not counting. This is fun stuff. You get all the other junk. Okay, enough commercials. Listen to this, because this is important, and think about it and apply it to everything in your life. So you know a certain amount about something. But then when you know more about it, when your knowledge expands, and in this case, when we're looking at seeing things, when you see things up close, your ideas from afar are often overturned. And I bring the thing up about pickup lines and astrology. Because if you think about it, if you're at a bar, a saloon, as I like to call it, my saloon door is opening up and up. Right. Actually, they don't make that. They go, they don't make those sounds. Those are like real doors. That's a real door. That's like a door, trap door. Trap door keeps things in or lets things out. Actually, if it's a trap door, it keeps things in. So at a saloon, I'm going to call it a saloon. I like that. I just love the word. And you know me, I love words. Do you know me well enough to know I know all of words? I'm a lover of words. When we see things up close, our ideas are often overturned, or from afar. Our ideas from afar are often overturned. How many times have you been in a saloon as a single person, and you'd see someone, and you're attracted to someone from afar, and it's something about his or her face or shape or something. From afar, and from afar you can sit there and you work yourself up. You know, I'm going to give you the perfect example. I'm going to give you the perfect example without giving you a full description of actual names. I'm going to keep these names to myself. I'm not going to tell you because I'll save it for the book. What book? One of the many books you're not going to write, Frank? Yeah. When I was at a club one night, when I was in Hollywood, I was with a PR friend who's been on the show and going to see someone or what have you. And I met this, I guess I could say, girl. We were all younger then, 30s. This girl was with this guy, and the guy was the manager of a very famous rock and roller. Okay. He was a manager. And he was with this girl, his girlfriend, I guess. And I was at that table, and we were all introduced to blah, 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 blah. And she was, now, I'm not afar. I was close up to her, but let's take distance metaphorically. Afar. I don't know her. I know nothing about her, but I am seeing her from afar, even though I'm close. But this gorgeous blonde, I don't even know how to totally describe her. Very much like, I don't even, forget it. I don't even remember her name. She was gorgeous, and I was just, you know, knocked out. And of course, you know, like men do, here's what men do. I know men do this. I guess it doesn't matter what preference, what your sexual preference might be. I guess men do this all the time. You know, I was going like, hey, what is she doing with him? It's like, I'm like, wait, look at me, girly, or whatever. You know, it's like, hey, you know, immediately this testosterone jousting, this machismo thing goes on. Okay, anyway, in any event, in all the birds, and certainly in this event, she strikes up a conversation. I strike up a conversation. As we're talking, there's this sexual tension between us. It's obvious. And even he's picking it up. Her boyfriend's picking it up, but he's not saying anything. And I'm not doing anything untoward, but I'm talking. And it's obvious she's paying more attention to me than I wasn't with anyone necessarily that I was there with, except my PR friend, who happened to be a woman, but I wasn't, you know, dating her or anything. And the funny thing is that she qualified as everything I would see in a woman. There's just nothing wrong. It's all the physical, the whole physical. That's what I meant. We're going to use seeing her from afar. It's just seeing her physically. Completely metaphoric here. Is it metaphoric or metaphorical? Okay, don't answer me. Just go look it up somewhere. I'll look it up. As a metaphor, afar is a metaphor, which is in another good name for it, another good title for a book. And as we talked, there was still the sexual tension. Aside from the tension going on with him, he was starting to get P.I. pissed. Or is it P.O. pissed? I don't know. That's what my mother used to do, things like that. She used to spell out the first couple of letters, even if it was the wrong one, and then say the expression. Well, you're getting P.I. pissed. Or is it P.O. pissed? But as we talked, it was like, wow, I realized there's no conversation here. She was, and I know this is judgmental. I'm going to be judgmental. But she's the quintessential dumb, and I hate to say dumb. I hate to do that, because she probably knew a lot about some things, but I have no idea what. She was, and she might have been acting. No, I don't think so. But it was so difficult to have any conversation with her, because she just wasn't all there. Or she was vacant, is a good way of it. Vacant of anything to talk about that was interesting. You couldn't add to her beauty the quality of conversation, or not conversation. Yes, you couldn't. Well, the quality of sound, of words, of sentences. I mean, she was just way out there. She probably believed in astrology, not astronomy. And then she might have even, during the time, what sign are you? And, you know, whatever went on with her, and why, I don't know. But I had, I stopped, all I started doing was planning on how to get her away from him, and how to get to her place, or my place, or any place, with her, and have sexual relations. But of course, it was really becoming and I knew that would be difficult, but you know what? If you catch on and latch on, or you start connecting with someone, then, you know, it's amazing what you might do. I know I would. It's amazing what I would do and how I would concoct and connive to get there. But boy, did she start, as the phrase was and is, I guess if you still say it, turning me off. All of her. And I started to say, what if she's like that physically? Although, I got to tell you, there was some amazing, I used to think from years on the road that there were women, girls, all of age, I may add, and I will add right now, so don't try to, I know I've been around, but girls who have expressed themselves sexually terrific, but then it's like there's nothing beyond that. That is their form of expression. That's their painting. That's their masterpiece. is how they express themselves sexually. And so they have to have sex in order to express themselves. It's not like I have to paint. And, you know, a true artist doesn't have to do anything. You don't have to, he or she doesn't have to paint. You don't have to do anything. But I guess my point here in terms of saying, well, you know, when we see things up close, our ideas from afar are often overturned. If afar as a metaphor, it's like I was by the end of the evening or the, I knew that I was not going to take any chances. And I would have taken some real heavy chances, even with this guy. Because, yeah, this guy looked like, you know, he looked like he had some friends of shady occupations, let's say. But I didn't try because she just turned me off. It takes a lot for an absolutely gorgeous woman to turn me off. I mean, a lot. And I was, those were my days of like, oh, man, was I strutting. I was out there. Out there. Listen to me. So it goes to show you that you don't know until you get, and this can go for people, this can go for objects. You know, you want that car? Oh, my goodness, every time you see it on television, every time you see it on the street, you want that car, that special car, that kind of car. You get into it, you start even trying it, and it stinks, or it's got so many problems. There's the first lesson. So we think we know about Pluto, but we don't. And the first lesson to all of us, well, how does that affect us? Well, there is number one. I mean, looking at this, approaching this like in a literary fashion, because that's what I do. And fashion's the wrong word. I'm sorry I used it. So let's get back to Pluto and then find out more about how this particular adventure, this mission, beyond the new horizon. That's great. That's what I should have called it in the blog. I didn't. I called it Renegade Planet because it's not a planet. It's Renegade Body of something, Body of Land. Or it's not. It's a body of, it's a. So what is the current state of Pluto science and how might things look different when we start learning about this planet in a year? I hope to do a follow-up. I hope we're all here and I hope to be able to do a follow-up about this. Let's talk about Pluto. And then more about the mission after our break. We are going to take a break. And soon. My name is Frank Atolo, by the way. My name adorns the title of the show. It's not a program because I have nothing's programmed. It does not follow any way, shape, or form. It's like it's amoeba programming right here on Gatologram. Is it not omega? Amoeba. Isn't the amoeba the one that doesn't change? Yes, because paramecium's along and amigo. Listen, it's starting. The saloon doors are swinging. Amoeba. Now, when I say amoeba, what do I think of? I think of those acids, amino acids. That's a funny phrase to me always. Amino acids. Amino acids? I wonder if this. Angelo Amino, hey. The amino gang. The amino acid gang. Okay, let's get back to this. Okay, because what is the current state of Pluto science? What do they know about it? And why are they so excited about finding out more? It's not even a planet anymore. Why was declassified? I don't know. Here's some stats as we move into the top of the second hour. Pluto located far beyond all the outer planets. Check this out and try to comprehend this. 4.5 billion miles from Earth. And we have something that's only a year away from seeing it up close. Think about this. We sent something out there. I don't even know how we get it to keep going in one direction. And there's no direction in space. How is it aimed at Pluto? I mean, when you get 1 billion miles out, can you still move a knob somewhere in NASA and control it? Apparently, because it's going to send back information and probably it's going to take a while for that information to come back. Can't just dial universe, can't just dial astronomy information and get this stuff. You have to wait. Think about it. 2006. That's like almost 10 years. Almost 10 years to get to this planet. Can say point. 4.5 billion miles from Earth. Okay, now out there, 4.5 billion miles from Earth, sunlight is only about 1,000 times fainter than here on Earth. 1,000 times fainter. Only? It's only? No, it's not only. I said only. He didn't even say it in this thing. That's what happens when I touch the... I'm not just touching, I'm pounding. The return, which is where I keep my mic. I know it shouldn't be there. Mic should be on a boom, but it's not. 1,000 times fainter than on our own planet. Fainter. This is cold. That means, you talk about cold. Okay, so how cold? The surface temperature, he writes, I like this. This is supposed to be funny. A chilly 380 degrees Fahrenheit. Chilly. I said 380, it would be hot. Minus 380 degrees. Minus. So there's zero. But you know what they would say if they had reporters reporting on Pluto doing the weather? They would say, the weather today, and I'll translate in English. I'm not going to talk in Plutonium. Plutonium. Would that be Plutonian? I'm not going to speak in the Plutonian language or Plutoese. That wouldn't be Plutoese. It'd be Here's what they'd say. Outside today, on the surface of Pluto, it's minus 380 degrees, but it feels like minus 490. God, I hate that. I hate weathermen who do that. But it feels like... How about this? I'm saying, Ma, you look good today. But it sounds like you're a fat pig. Right? Although I guess people do interpret things that way. Ma, you look good today. Which is like, oh, you're a fat pig. Or whatever. Are there thin pigs? Yeah, there are thin pigs. This little piggy who went to market. And this little piggy, I don't even know the piggies anymore. This little piggy went this. My name is Frank Cotolo, a man whose name adorns the title of the show. We're coming up to the first hour. Then I'm going to come back and talk more about Pluto and what about this mission affects you. And that's aside from the obvious. I mean, looking at it in a critical fashion, but other than that, I mean, because what if it sees something like a... What if it sees something like a building? Huh? A building on Pluto. What if this thing shoots back a picture and there's a building? And then you look through the window and there's this creature. Not even a creature. What if it's somebody who looks like us? Well, like you or I? Like us. You know, so what if it's someone very veritably human? Now that would change a lot of things. Just like finding any kind of life out there is going to make us all just... It's going to be havoc, wreaking havoc upon this planet. The beliefs and the wild things that go through people's heads about what might be, what isn't, and what could be, and what should be, and what has to be, and all the things that make people want to stand up and say, you know, I feel good because I know this and I feel that. It's all sound and the fury. Shakespeare had it right. It's the sound and the fury of life that in the end signifies nothing. I am Frank Cotolo, and I didn't choose to be. It just happened that way, and I am here on Cotolo Chronicles for the umpteenth year of this show. It's umpteenth. I'm not even counting anymore. It doesn't matter. And what I'm going to do is take a break here now. Go replenish your precious bodily fluids with get yourself a drink or two. And whatever else you have to do, dispose of some bodily waste, whatever it is you have to do right now, do it as we take this break. Now, I know that sounds counterproductive because I'm going to play this stuff and you're going to go, well, shouldn't we hear this stuff? Because you play these PSAs. And nobody, believe that, nobody talks like that. I know. That's really demeaning to, and I don't mean to be demeaning. I don't mean to be demeaning. I don't mean to be demeaning, but the meaning of demeaning is, right? Let's go, and we'll come back. My name is Frank Delaney, and we'll be right back. I will. Please, come back.
The Toll of Chronicles, the internet talk show from the Neo Postmodern World.
Juiced Talk Radio. It's juicy. JuicedTalk.com. Hear Frank Cotolo's Cotolo Chronicles.
Imagine if there were companies that made cookies, and they only got together to make like one, a certain amount of cookies for a certain amount of time, okay?
Transistor by Velvet Steel.
You know, you've got short nipples, you've got long nipples that stick up from the body, you've got big areolas, you've got small areolas, you've got different colors, you've got hair growing off them, you've got everything going on, you've got veiny nipples, you've got all kinds of different things. But for some people, they have really small nipples.
And the Fabulous D Show by me, the Artist D.
You bring this out in me.
I know. And that's why this is so unique, because you could do a million of your own shows. But
and I would never do this there, no.
Exactly. You'd never start saying, who did they suck off to get that?
All at Juiced Talk, archived for your listening pleasure. JuicedTalk.com.
In a world where reading is dying out, a new champion emerges. Wacky escapades. Parallel universes.
Hello, everyone. This is me, Frank Cotolo.
There's never a dull moment as Frank weaves a tale of a writer making you laugh, chuckle, and learn a bit about life. Pick up License to Scale by Frank Cotolo. Now on Amazon for your Kindle.
This is the Jigman Freud, yes, better known as Jiggy Jaguar, reminding everyone within earshot that Frank Cotolo's new book, Molotov Memoirs, is now available at blurb.com. I know there is not one of you out there that ever trusts a word I say, but this time I mean it when I tell you that you will not be sorry. You're not going to be sorry when you buy and read Molotov Memoirs by Frank Cotolo. So go to blurb.com and buy a copy or two or more. You may regret knowing me, but you will never regret buying Molotov Memoirs.
Arthritis isn't just about getting old. In fact, arthritis is a serious disease that affects more than 4 million Canadians, including baby boomers and children. For many people, arthritis means pain and disability. But there are answers for those struggling with the disease. The Arthritis Society can help. We offer hope through education, support, and solutions with information and programs to make life easier. The Arthritis Society. Visit us online at arthritis.ca for help or to make a donation.
Chances are someone you know will be affected by heart disease or stroke this year. It could be your neighbor, a friend, a member of your family. It could even be you. That's why the Heart and Stroke Foundation needs your support. Your generous donations help to fund life-saving research, patient support in your community, and initiatives that help more and more Canadians survive heart disease or stroke every year. Donate online at heartandstroke.ca. The Heart and Stroke Foundation. We create survivors.
Ah, the sounds of Ontario's nature in the summer. But close your eyes to it, and in time it'll all just go away. Ontario's nature needs you, because you can help protect, connect, and restore what makes our home so special. After all, the pulse of Ontario isn't just in its wildlife, woodlands, and wetlands. It's in the hearts of the people who protect them. Listen to your heart. Visit OntarioNature.org to find out how you can help today.
I've been in bed with Dee, and it was so good.
In bed. I'm in bed with myself.
I've been in bed with Dee.
Was it good for you, Dee?
Hey, it's the artist Dee. Have you ever wondered why and how I could go around flaunting the term the internet's first superstar? Well, I was here first, and I'll tell you how and why in my new book, In Bed With Myself, The Making of the Internet's First Superstar.
I've been in bed with Dee, and it was so good.
Go to theartistd.com to order your copy today.
Some say superstar and others just say holy moly.
Oh dear. Oh dear. Oh.
And he doesn't even have the book yet. It's only $14.95. There's only 100 in stock, so you better get yours now.
Early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise.
And all was Benjamin Franklin wise.
So you actually think electricity can pass through metal? Ha! Ben Franklin, go fly a kite.
Excellent idea. Where are my keys?
Besides the bifocals, Ben invented the Franklin stone. The odometer.
Whoa!
Oh, and the lightning rod. Ingenuity, pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
I want to tell you to do one thing, though, and if you'll pay attention to me, it might save your life. I want you to buckle up and live. Seatbelts and shoulder harnesses can be your second chance. Now, if you never had an accident, you could be next, because you gamble every time you get in your car. Now, you cut down the odds against you getting killed, you understand, by buckling up your seatbelt or your harness. Use them as advised by your car's manufacturer, and have your passengers use them, too. Automobile accidents can be deadly. Be sure you get that second chance. Buckle up and live.
Everybody's voting for the friendly voice of radio, the people's choice. Music, weather, sports, and news, it's radio. The people choose. Everybody's swinging to the swinging voice of radio, the people's choice. Big fry, small fry, dawn to dawn, it's radio that turns them on. Swinging, singing, a million sounds you want to hear. It's a landslide every year. Everybody's dialing in the smiling voice of radio, the people's choice. East Coast, West Coast, in between, it's radio that makes the scene.
What is this? Yeah, this could be my theme too. I could get rid of Bon Fry. This is cool. I don't know what the name. Hi, my name is Frank Cotolo. Man, his name adorns the title of the show. We're in the second hour of Cotolo Chronicles. I'm chronicling, and we're talking about Pluto and the New Horizons mission. I like this. I don't know. Can anyone identify this? Doesn't have a name on it. I like this a lot. So here, I think we'll end. Not the show. We will end the commercial run with this. every week from now on. It's always something different and something new. Right here on Cthulhu Chronicles. And I don't know how to end it. Okay, we'll end it like that. As we said, here we are, Y2K plus 14. Now there's less, the room is sleeping. It's not, listen, I don't hear a lot of humming. Windows open. It's cool enough to have turned the fan off. I gave my fan story last week. Fan is still here. It still works. And it's already been worth it. A mere $15 or less than $15. Let's get back to Pluto and what we can learn from this. I got my pens here and I'm keeping track of what we're talking about. We said it's minus 380 degrees Fahrenheit because the sun is 1,000 times fainter than it is here. I don't know how that adds up to 1,000 times. Does that mean that halfway between here and, I don't know if it works like halfway between here and Pluto, it's 500 times fainter? I don't know. I have questions about all this stuff and I don't, and it doesn't even matter that much. But like Uranus, Pluto rotates on its axis like a knocked over top. That means its north pole is about at the same place that the other planet's equators are located. This guy wrote and ended the sentence with R. I added the word located to make it correct. So this guy writes about science, but he doesn't write right. Let me see if I understand this, though, now that I've corrected it grammatically. Pluto rotates on its axis like a knocked over top. You've seen the... Okay. So its north pole is at about the same place that other planets' equators are located, so like in the middle. Okay, so it's knocked over. So that's why. I don't know. No one is sure exactly why. It's no. That's why another reason why I love reading these things. For the first time on the air. No one knows why that is the case, but some scientists suspect a major impact by a large space rock billions of years ago could have tipped the dwarf planet over. Now it's a dwarf planet. First a body, it's not a planet. Now he calls it a dwarf planet. Why didn't you just say Pluto? Could have tipped Pluto over. Because a dwarf planet would be a small planet, but if it's not a planet anymore, the fact that it's small means it can't be a dwarf planet because it's small. Because it's not a planet. Right? Okay. Let's see how Pluto has a radius of 733 miles. This I was fascinated to know because I didn't even know what I knew, what others know about Pluto now. And there may be number two. And that is when you listen to things and there's these facts about, you know, you might know, oh, Pluto, all I need to know is it's the last planet I know. And then they said it's not a planet anymore. And it's way out there, it's a little small, and it's the same name as the Walt Disney dog. Okay, and then you don't know, or you do know it's named after the king of the underworld, not underground. Oh, the underworld is underground, though, isn't it? With the underworld underground. I don't know, I don't want to get into that Middle Earth crap. Yeah, I know, I didn't like that. Everybody knows that I didn't like that. I could never, when I was in the late 60s and 70s, or whenever that craze for that Lord of the Rings thing went on, I could not get through the first. I remember when the first one came out, everyone was nuts about The Hobbit. I couldn't get through that. I don't know. That's just personal preference. No one is sure why it's tipped over. They think that, you know, one of these asteroids, large rock. It wouldn't have to be that large either. If Pluto's only 733 miles to knock it over on its side, you wouldn't have to be that big, right? Right? Like you're going to say, yeah, of course. What are you wrong? Of course. He said 733 miles. It is the second largest known object. Now, I know I'm going to say this. Kuiper belt in the Kuiper Belt? You know, why doesn't he put brackets and a pronunciation? Are we supposed to know about the Cooper Belt? Is it Cooper? If it was Cooper, why isn't it K-O-O? Kuiper? In the Kuiper Belt. In the Kuiper. There's 100 ways to say this. In the K-Belt. The Cooper Belt. The Caper Belt. The Keeper Belt. Kuiper. That's a... Here's the definition of the Cooper Belt. Kuiper. That I throws me off. You see, if the I wasn't in there... Kuiper. Could be Kuiper. K-U-I could be Kui. Kuiper. The Kuiper Belt. It's a collection of small frozen bodies beyond the orbit of Neptune. The surface of the Kuiper Belt. Now what did I say? Kui. Yeah, the Kuiper Belt. Oh, no, not the Kui. No, forget about the Kuiper. The Kuiper Belt is the collection of small frozen bodies. He doesn't tell you how many. Just a collection. How many is in a collection? 7,422 million could be a collection. Look at a guy who owns, we have a collection of books here on the premises. The collection, 933,000 books in this library. This huge emporium of objects to be read. And then there's some guy at home going, I get a collection of 10. I got 10 Harrison Ford movies. It's my collection. 10. Anyway, so there's frozen bodies. And now they don't say planets or dwarf planets or anything. They just say small frozen bodies. They're big enough to be counted, I guess. Beyond the orbit of Neptune, Neptune being the planet, which is a planet, which is now the furthest, that's now the further, farthermost, for not further, the farthermost planet. Father knows best. So Neptune is big. Oy, Neptune. Neptune. Named after. Go ahead. You know it. I won't tell you. Pluto's surface, as they know it, is almost entirely nitrogen ice. And it has an extremely thin atmosphere of nitrogen, methane, and carbon dioxide. These are... We know these. We know these gases. We know these... gases. Can you imagine what that smells like to the human nostril? No, you can't. And you know why you can't? Because at minus 380 degrees, you don't get a chance. But if it was in an atmosphere like ours, and you put nitrogen, can you even do this? Put a bowl and put nitrogen, methane, and nitrogen, methane, and carbon dioxide in this bowl. And you can't do that. And there's carbon dioxide right now because that's what's coming out of me. The oxygen's going in and carbon dioxide going out. Isn't that correct? The faint envelope of gas. That's what's called a faint envelope of gas. Oh, my goodness. I just have another title for a book. A faint envelope of gas. I'm telling you, they're everywhere. Okay, but the faint envelope of gas, which is nitrogen, methane, and carbon dioxide, has a pressure more than 10,000 times less than surface pressure on Earth. 10,000 times less. Now, I know I'm spitting out a lot of numbers here, but they're all gigantic. So just imagine it's everything I'm telling you about that you are aware of because you comprehend it at the level we know. It's just amok. Like many of Pluto's larger planetary brethren. Look, okay. It doesn't have planetary brethren if it's not a planet. All right, let's not be too nitpicky here. Like many of its larger planetary brethren. Oh, it has brethren, and they're larger planetaries because they're larger than one another. Pluto has moons. Now, this little thing out there has moons. It has orbiting around it. It has moons. And they've only recently found and named these babies. So here's something a third the size of Earth, and it's got moons. The largest moon, Charon, And for those of you spelling it, it's not named after, that's not the woman's name, Sharon. It's C-H-A-R-O-N, which could be Sharon. I don't know how they pronounce it. Let's call it Sharon. Was first observed in 1978, and it's half the size of Pluto. A moon? I don't know if this is true. I don't know if this is important, but I don't think a moon can be bigger than the planet it orbits, can it? No. No. That must be in the definition of a moon. A moon, not the moon as we see it, our moon. But Charon orbits quite close to Pluto, forming a system that is more like a binary star system than a planet and moon. So they're closer in lots of ways. Closer, even though it's a moon. Maybe this is the next thing that would, and that is that things, no, okay, well, not forget it. Charon is mainly covered in, and here we go, water ice. I swear, as God is my witness, that being any deity that is superior in any possible way. How about as my audience is my witness? My audience are my witness? As my audience is my witness, it says water ice. Now, could there be milk ice out there because there's milk? No. Could there be? What else can be ice if it's not water? It's ice. Ice, the definition of ice. This is where comes my Liquid Water Society, the LWS, that I've established here for years and years and years. Because we're not counting how many years we've been in this umpteenth year of Cthulhu Chronicles. It says Charon is mainly covered in water ice. As opposed to what? Gas? Can a gas turn into ice? Can there be nitrogen ice? Or is water a nitrogen? You see, I just want to know the simplest of things so I can understand this and see how it affects me. I put ice. Do I go to a saloon? That's a door, not a swinger. I go to a saloon and say, where I'm going to say, hey, what's your sign? And try to pick up someone. Am I saying to the bartender, I have a scotch with water ice. What do you want, a scotch and water? Because you could put water in. No, a scotch with water ice. Well, what other ice do you think I have? Coffee ice? You can make coffee ice cubes. You can make soda ice cubes. But they don't offer that in saloons. Water ice. I want ice. If I just say ice, ice. So Charon is covered with ice, okay? There is also evidence that great active geysers shoot from Pluto's surface. Active geysers. I'm kind of glad I didn't give you the name of this author, because he or she should be ashamed of themselves for how this is written. Active geysers. Are there inactive geysers? It's only a geyser if it's shooting, right? That's a geyser. If it's not there, it's not a geyser. There's nothing there. A geyser is the very thing that shoots. It's not the whole apparatus, the hole in the... Is it? Or am I wrong? Active geysers. So there are inactive geysers? No, because there's no such thing as a geyser unless it's geysing. Astronomers discovered two other small Plutonian moons in 2005. Look at this. They're still finding moons. There's two other ones. They have been named Nix and Hydra. I know. You knew I was going to laugh. And you're going to laugh too. Nix and Hydra. Nix and Hydra. It's a good thing they didn't name them Net and Yahoo. Net and Yahoo. We have a name that, like one name that sounds like two things. Net and Yahoo. Nix and Hydra, the premier of Pluto, Nix and Hydra, said today, that would be his name, Nix and Hydra. Those are the two other ones. Nix, I don't know why Nix is named. Okay, now listen to this. The fourth and fifth moons, Kerberos and Styx. Now let's all together. Charon and Nix and Hydra, Kerberos and Styx. Nix and Styx, Kerberos and Hydra, and Charon. Sharon, and Hydra, and Nyx, and Styx, and Kerberos. Does anyone? No, now those things I'm going to write down because later on I'm going to find out why they're named Nyx. What is Nyx? N-I-X. Now, they used to, Nyx the, let me have ham and eggs. Nyx the eggs. That would just be an order of ham. Nyx, as in erase, edit, leave out. Nyx. Let me have hash browns, Nyx the onions. Hash browns without the onions. That's simple restaurant talk. Hydra must have something to do with water, because Hydra, hydronic, Hydra, that prefix has prefix. I said prefix. I could say prefix or prefix. What am I, English? I think they're the prefix of the word. Do you ever make yourself cough like that? What is that? Excuse me. Nyx and Hydra. Kerberos and Styx. Now I suddenly wish that I had four dogs. What happened to Sharon? Five dogs. I wish I had five dogs, and I would name them. If you have five of anything, five turtles, five rats, a lot of people like rats. I have rats as pets. Gerbils or what are those other hamsters? Name them after the moons of Pluto. I'm thinking of naming the rooms in my house. This is Nyx. This is Hydra. Kerberos and Styx. And this is Sharon. Sharon was the first one, the eldest, the oldest. Well, we don't know who's old or which is old. They just found them. Well, Kerberos and Styx were just found 2011 and 12. So, you know, we can assume there might be more that they could find. We could. Beyond those basic facts, there is still a great deal no one knows about Pluto, including what it actually looks like, including what it actually looks like, including its appearance. I'm like a school teacher. A pain in the butt school teacher. I crossed it out and wrote it, including its appearance. Not what it really looks like. What it really looks like is such an awkward baby phrase. Think about it. We have close-up shots of pretty much every other large body in the... And it says other large body. We have a very other body in the solar system. But the best image we have of Pluto is a few blurry pixels from Hubble. And you're supposed to know that's a telescope because he doesn't, or she doesn't, write it here. Should be ashamed of this article, although you're giving us information, but how it's written. But look at the fact there. Again, what you see from afar. You don't even know its appearance, and this may be the second thing. If you don't take afar, as I use it as a metaphor, let's take it as afar. Let's say people are telling you things about a country. Oh, don't go there. I hear people tell me this secondary and I was going to say thirdary. Is everything? And this second and third source information that people believe, outrageous. Isn't it? Why? Why believe that stuff? And besides, nobody sees things the same way. You might like it. You may think you don't like it, but if you listen to everyone else that doesn't like it, then you don't like it. Or you say, that's no good because everyone tells me it's no good. Scientists have managed to map out general dark and light areas on Pluto's surface, but the finer details. There's another, but the details, right? All the details includes the finer ones, the more than fine, right? The finer details. That's not necessary to, it's not necessary to use that modifying word to details. Details means details. And then, he or she pops out this wonderful little piece of Latin. Don't you love this? Listen. The whole sentence reads the way it was written. as such. Scientists have managed to map out general dark and light areas on Pluto's surface, but the finer details remain terra incognita. Terra incognita. Terra incognita. So, and then in italics, let's point out the fact that we know this Latin, and we're not going to tell you, and we're not going to write it any other way, but show you that we do. Meanwhile, we're saying what it really looks like, finer details, and water ice. So how smart are you? I'm sorry. I apologize for showing my disdain for something that, you know, should be KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. Even something complex like what's Pluto, they don't know much at all. Nix and Hydra and Styx and Kerberos, Charon makes five. Those are the moons of Pluto. Are they all alive? Nix and Hydra, Kerberos and Styx, and there's Charon too. Those are the moons of Pluto. I can't rhyme it. The planet. And the one time was a planet. My name is Frank Cotolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show. You're listening to Cotolo Chronicles. What else would you be listening to that has this meter, that has this prancing monologue? What else would you be listening to that is not me, who has been here for umpteen years in front of the same mic? I swear, as anyone is my witness, is the same microphone I have spoken into for all these years, umpteenth years in Cotolo Chronicles. Go to CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com. I was looking back in the archives. Look back in the archives. I used to put something in there every day. Of course, that's before I wrote 8 million different things a week. fiction, nonfiction, everything that I, and things that I get paid for, I don't get paid for everything. It's so much busier now than it was then. And I was busy back then too, believe me. Well, you don't believe me. Let's go back. Starting in January 2015, let's look ahead. Now, let's put on the fan again. I haven't put this fan on more than one. If this fan was on two and three, this little fan, it would be amazing. I would blow my entire, the wheels on my chair would be, roll me back there. Starting in January 2015, New Horizons, this mission will be passing the, and this is what they call, BTH. What does that stand for? Better than Hubble line. The better than Hubble line. Hubble sees what Hubble sees, but the BTH is better than Hubble. It's going to pass the better than Hubble line. Why isn't it the BTHL? I ask you. The BTH line. The spacecraft, and I don't have any picture of this. I mean, I guess we can look it up on the internet. What is this thing? What is the appearance? How does this thing appear? Is it wings, not wings? How big is this thing? Anyway, this is a spacecraft. Let's just go. It will start returning images of the frozen dwarf once was a planet that looked better than anything we've seen before. This is when this guy Alan Stern, who's the head of the project, suspects researchers might start getting surprises about Pluto. And I'm changing it. It says the dwarf planet. It keeps calling it the dwarf planet when it should be just call it Pluto. Craters and mountains are some of the first things that New Horizons could see, though they may discover new moons. I told you, there goes the song. Nix and Hydra, Kerberos and Styx, and there's Charon too. That's the moons of two. Oh, I gotta, and there's Charon too. Those are the moons of Saturn that I list for you. There we go, I got it. It's Nix and Hydra, Kerberos and Styx, and there's Charon too. That's the list of moons of Pluto that I sing to you. Now you'll know it. I get credit. If you start singing that now, the rest of the week, or you're humming it, or you're whistling it, remember where you heard it and say, yeah, I heard that in Cotolo Chronicles. It went Nix and Hydra, Kerberos and Styx, and this Charon too. Those are the moons of Pluto that I sing to you. Those are the names of, well, whatever. So there's lots of things I could see. Great detail. I can't wait to see these pictures now. Well, we do have to wait. It can't take them. Why can't it take them from, if it's a year away? And how much more closer? It's going to get really close. Just prior to its Pluto encounter, New Horizons will be watching Pluto rotate on its axis, spinning around every 6.4 Earth days, because it's small. And it still takes it 6.4 days to rotate. Here's what New Horizons is going to do. This will allow New Horizons to map most of the surface at high enough resolution to pick out features approximately 25 miles across, or roughly what you would see on the moon's surface with a good pair of binoculars from here. I guess with a good pair of binoculars you could see. Can you see on the moon? I never knew that. A good pair of binoculars you could see on the moon? Oh, okay. The probe, now it's the probe, the New Horizons probe, might see large impact craters or a network of geological fractures supporting a hypothesis that a large object hit Pluto in the past. And that's what tipped it over. Tip me over and pour me. I'm a little celestial body, shorter than Earth. Here are my moons. Here is my girth. When the asteroid hits me, tips me over. Why am I doing this? I'll move on. That's because it's the saloon doors. I dropped my pen.
Pick it up.
Here's the pen again. Okay. Okay, as a spacecraft swoops down over a surface at its closest approach, it will map one side of the planet down to a resolution of about 1,000 feet, with the best imagery reaching down to about 230, 250 feet. In image of New York City at, it should be an image. Oh, I found a typo. An image of New York City at about 230 foot resolution. You'd be able to see the streets, buildings, wharfs, and even count the ponds in Central Park. So that's pretty darn close. Okay. Oh, Norton Security is currently performing tasks as we speak. There's just way too much going on in this computer that we don't know about. Well, we know about that now, but I mean, what's happening? We have no idea. And then, the motion of the probe as it passes over the surface will allow scientists to see features from slightly different angles. This is good, too. And that'll give scientists the ability to create a stereo 3D image and infer heights to these objects. So this is going to be, now I want to, here's the other thing of how this affects you. Even though it might be more sophisticated, the equipment being used to do this type of stuff. And I know that's like really straight. The equipment, the scientists are employing to create the images is very much like the equipment you're probably listening to this station to me. It's, you know, because it's probably zeros and ones, and there's all sorts of, and there's a motherboard, there's you know, all the things. I know, I should know. I don't know that. I can't get that more. I can't get that detailed. I can't go into the finer details. Hello? See? It's stupid. But they'll be able to create stereo 3D images. So they use stereo 3D images. I think if it's a 3D image, stereo 3D images? That means on both sides? I don't understand what the use of stereo here. Let's not worry. The point is, you have the very equipment in your hand, if you have a smartphone right now, and boy, is that an understatement. Smartphone? How about genius phone? Genius phone. Smartphone? Just smart? See how they are bright enough in marketing to bring the titles of things down to the least common denominator. That's why we have Big Bang Theory. It's not the extraneous explosion of planetary gook. Whatever, you know, that wouldn't even be intelligent. That would be stupid. But, you know, it's Big Bang Theory. Can you take smartphone? What should we call it? Probably the device has an incredible name to it among the highly technical folk. The point of closest, but that's what you learn, that you're actually the same. This goes back to what we talked about last week when we talked about the internet, and that the properties, the elements, the math, it's the same stuff you're carrying in your hand. It was never like that. There were things that ran, there were machines, there was technology that was isolated, and it was used by certain people, and the elements of it, the properties of it, were nowhere near the common household. Same thing with radio. Not everybody had radios, and then television. Nobody, a lot of people didn't have, you know, when it was there, it was there. So was digital math, by the way, but people in the households were not using it like this. Nor did they know anything about it, or what bytes meant, or what zeros and ones, right? And that's way before there was an internet. There were digital devices. These are other things that should affect you, because when they see Pluto at this detail, when they learn about Pluto, they're learning with tools you use. This has never been in the history of mankind. Now, the point of closest encounter is planned to take new horizons over an area of Pluto with the widest variety of different features. So they know there's one area. Because of the regularity of orbital mechanics, the science team was able to choose a precise location extremely far in advance of the spacecraft's arrival. This maximizes the scientists' chances of seeing something interesting. I hate the word interesting. Seeing something. As New Horizons flies over the, it says dwarf planet, body flies over Pluto, okay? And he keeps writing, flies over Pluto. I have to change this on every, if you can read it again. The probe, that probe, New Horizons, we'll also take the temperature of the surface, sample the composition of Pluto's atmosphere, and bounce radio waves off its surface, which will tell researchers about underground features. Underground, not Pluto, ruler of the underground, not the underworld, the underground. Literally, the underground features. When you call on your smartphone, or when you do something, all these apps that you have, when the apps that keep track of your heartbeat or the temperature, whatever they do specifically, they're doing this kind of work for you at your level. You can't throw your smartphone up in the air and reach Pluto to do it, but the same little pieces of junk are doing it. Little pieces of junk, I said. What exactly will New Horizons find? Nobody can say for sure, but one of the most interesting possibilities would be the discovery of a faint ring system around Pluto. Faint ring system. Why is this interesting? It's the gas and ice giants that Saturn and Neptune are famous for having in their rings, those famous rings that we see. But scientists speculate that an asteroid impact could kick up a spray of debris on Pluto, which would settle in orbit as a thin ring and eventually dissipate over millions of years, which it might have had happened. Such events could have happened many times over the course of the solar system's history, and it's possible that New Horizons' visits will coincide with one of these intermittent ringed eras. And then what he means is, and I'm sure you know what he means, is that they'll get there and they'll see some kind of ring, and that could have been the dust, because recently something knocked into the Pluto. I was going to say planet into Pluto. And so the rings go around because, and the rings go around and round, when it comes out here. New Horizons will make detailed maps of Pluto's main moon. Anyone remember? Sharon. Nixon, Hydra, Kerberos, and Styx. And there's Sharon too. These are the moons of Pluto that I sing to you. The melody might have changed a little bit since I did that the first time. It's going to make detailed maps of the main moon, Sharon, which orbits very close, as I said. And it says again to the dwarf planet, come on! I'm so glad. I'm for the sake of this writer, I just wouldn't want to be here, like in you know, it's just terrible. The probe won't pass as close to Pluto's other moons, but should be able to photograph some of their features as well. There, yes, Nixon, Hydra, Kerberos, and Styx, and not Charon. The Charon will go real close. As the probe zooms away from Pluto, it will turn and try to get a picture of the dwarf planet's night side, bathed in reflected light from Charon. So Charon reflects the light. You're like, that's good. That's very well written. Bathed in reflected light. The light from the sun, which is, of course, what? 1,000. Did I say 1,000 times fainter? Yes, 1,000 times fainter. Because Charon is far more reflective than our own moon, and I don't know why. Maybe because it has water ice. Maybe because of the ice and not that dull stuff that our moon, the dirty, musty. Remember seeing pictures of Man on the Moon? Were any of you alive to watch the transmissions of the moon men? They weren't moon men, the men on the moon. Anyway, Charon is more reflective than our moon. It provides about the same light at night as a full moon on Earth. Even though the sunlight out there is so dim. Okay, so it does that because glare from the sun might make this maneuver tricky. There's so much glare that it might have trouble doing that. But the team, the scientists, are hopeful that they will, they'll be able to pull this off. They'll be able to do it. They'll be able to get these pictures. So we're going to get Pluto. We're going to get some pictures of Nixon, Hydra, Kerberos, and Styx, and a lot and details from Charon too. That's not right. Didn't work. Here's another quote from Stern. Ready? If it works, it'll be spectacular. Boy, that's good to know that he's still got, you know, there's still, he knows a scientist, and a scientist knows nothing, you know, it's not certain. Suppose it breaks down. Suppose something happens. Suppose there is another giant or big enough body out there, asteroid, whatever you want to call it, flying through, and it hits new missions. Not new missions, New Horizons. I keep calling it new missions. What if that happens? Then what? No pictures from there. That's it. Got to wait another 10 years. Shoot one and I don't know how you direct it. Another 10 years. Okay. He says if it works, it'll be spectacular. That's all he said. In addition to providing a one-of-a-kind photograph, the maneuver to get these pictures will give scientists information about frost deposits on Pluto and the percent of the atmosphere that freezes out at night. Freezes out? Freezes at night? Freezes out? Freezes at night? Frost deposits. I have no idea why frost deposits would be important. But you know, where there's water, and they said water ice, then there might be life on Charon. Maybe there's life somewhere that needs minus 380 degrees. Maybe that's nothing. Imagine if that was, but it feels like 490. Those are the people saying that, the Plutonians. We aren't Plutoniums. We aren't Plutoniums. We need water, ice, places, frost. We need frost deposits. And I do it in like that, in the template, stupid template, dumb mimicking of some strange being from another world speaking English. New Horizons' Pluto visit will transform the science of this small body in a matter of weeks, and it will likely take a long time before the data it provides will be unpacked. The only thing that would truly surprise the science team at this point would be if they find no surprises on Pluto. Imagine finding nothing. Imagine all this and it's exactly that blurry picture was enough. What did we look? There's nothing here. That would surprise them. It's a safe bet to assume the probe probably won't be definitely answering scientific questions so much as raising interesting new problems and providing researchers with many decades of mysteries. I don't think we're going to be traveling there. We're going to send a human to Pluto. In that sense, New Horizons harkens back to an earlier era of planetary exploration when the first probes swung past Mercury, Venus, and Mars in the 1960s. And that was dangerous too, because Mercury and Venus, Mercury's pretty hot, right? Because it's going towards the sun. How did it not burn up? Or burn? Burn up? Burn down? It burned down. Imagine saying that. Yeah, my house burnt. That house burnt down. Don't go there. That you'll burn up. Burn up and burn down. Slow up and slow down. The hell's the difference in the directions there? In the 1960s, the probe swung past Mercury, Venus, and Mars, gave scientists their first up-close encounters with other worlds. This process continued to the outer planets with the twin Voyager probes. Because New Horizons is the first probe to visit Pluto, it represents the final bookend in the initial reconnaissance of our solar system. And that's Stern's words. Those are Stern's words. The final bookend. It should be the other bookend. Because there's how many bookends going to be? Two, right? In the initial reconnaissance of our solar system. And then here we go. Here's what happens. And boy, we timed this beautifully, don't we? Haven't we? Will we? Should we? As it leaves the Pluto system, New Horizons will burn its rockets and head toward a new destination. The team plans to send it to another Kuiper Belt object, though exactly which one has not been decided. Hubble is right now searching for candidates, giving the mission a whole new world to observe, and learn, not and learn from, to observe and learn, or just observe and learn from, don't say from where it will learn many things. So don't think Pluto is the end, because it's not. It's what we thought, and it's not a planet anymore, but it's the final object we see. Now Hubble can see beyond Pluto. It's looking for other little bodies beyond the solar system, ones that are not connected to this astrology thing. Because Pluto is still a planet as far as astrology is concerned. Not astronomy. I've got to cough. Should I turn... See, I didn't do it right into the mic. I turned the mic down. I don't know why. Because I'm getting dry. There is a little coffee left. I know. I keep telling everyone about your precious bodily fluids and to drink, because you should be drinking. And I stopped when I kept talking. It's not good. Ooh. I mean, it's not a good thing. For all we know, and this will be the last thing, because we don't know. When I said in the friend, how does this affect you? Well, you don't know how it totally affects you yet. Can learn things on a metaphoric, on a basis, as we talked about, in terms of exploring things, people, places, whatever, that you should realize you have to be up close and study yourself. But the things they don't know. And as I said, they'd be surprised if they know nothing, if they learn nothing. But the things they learn about Pluto and then beyond, it is yet to understand the value. For all we know, I'll really take a broad look at this. Wouldn't it be something if some various factor of what is found on Pluto cures cancer or defines something we thought was something else in our solar system, which there leads to another piece of knowledge that corrupts something we thought to be true, and then that thing turns out to be something that affects every human on Earth in a bad way or a good way? Not always good. You know, it could be bad ways. They may find out bad things. But a lot of the things that they don't know will be, they'll start to know many things. And so much of what can happen with New Horizons on Pluto can affect us all. And the not just the adventure, but the motivation of the mission and the very fact that it's done and the fact that I had a cough again. The fan probably sends particles as I'm talking right into my mouth. It was scientific. My name is Frank Atollo. The man whose name adorns the title of the show. We're not going to know anything about how Pluto affects us in the ways that we don't know. The mysteries will remain mysteries. But we will follow this up, I guarantee you, in a year from now when those pictures start coming in. It didn't say here how long those pictures and information will take to come. They said that, you know, they have to unravel it. What was the word? It'll take a while for it to be to unpackage. What did it say? The problem being, what words did they use there? I don't know. Unpacked. So it comes in data. It's got to be unpacked. Data needs to be packed and unpacked. They pack it and unpack it. So we don't know, but we do know that, they didn't say how long it would take. My name is Frank Atollo, and the man's name is doing the title of the show. And let me tell you something, as I always do, and that is that it's been great talking to you, and I really enjoy talking to all of you, and I know that we need to do this more often, but we can only do it when it comes time for us to do it on these Thursday nights, I guess, is it? Right? That may have been... I may be hitting this a minute too early. I am. My math is off. That's right, it is. Well, anyway, so it'll end a little earlier. It's no big deal. My name is Frank Atollo. The man's name adorns the title of the show. Please check me out on my Tumblr turned 4 years old. And I promise I'll put more stuff on there if you go. Catolo.tumblr.com. Frank. No, 148.ca/Frank. And the Montreal Jewish News every Friday, political pulp, and various other things that will appear up on the internet, on your internet, as time goes by. I will be around, I hope, to continue to be around. And I got back from the doctor, and most of the reports are good. The chances are good, the math is good, that I'll be around. So I hope that's true and nothing beyond my power force happens. In the meantime, good night, Mrs. Ernstwhile, wherever you are. Everybody go, I said are, wherever you are located, wherever you might be. How about that? I got to find the correct way to say that. Go to, where do you want to go to? Go to... Go to all the stations that run this and go to listen to it again, download it, Juice Talk, everything, and go buy the books. Buy License to Skill and the other thing. I'll be leaving now because I have nothing more to say.